Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
This is a Joy 94.9 podcast presented by Paul Anthony with the assistance of the Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officers, Victoria Police, Crime Stoppers and Joy 94.9 working together to make our community safe.
Keeping you and the community informed. Joy 94.9.
In the studio with me, Scott Davis from The Good Police. Also, our university student, Bryden Sullivan, is studying criminology. But the focus is on the lady, leading senior constable Deborah Chapman from Recruiting Services. Welcome to Joy.
Well, thank you.
What's the difference between a leading senior than a senior?
Probably not a lot. Pay scale would probably be the first thing, and just the amount of years.
But there's also supposed to be additional duties. It's not, you just
there
don't
is supposed to
get
be a mentoring issue, as well.
You don't just get to be a leading senior constable. You've got to earn it.
Cool. And senior constable, which means you're in charge.
No, I'm not in charge, no. But I'm just more senior than a constable.
How far have you got to go before you get Simon's job?
Oh, no.
There's about 10 ranks in between.
No.
In recent weeks, we've had a couple of guests coming in talking about what it's like to be gay in the Victoria Police. So we thought we'd invite you around to tell us, how do we become a police officer?
How do you actually join, if that's your interest? Yeah, well, and it's fairly straightforward. We have some minimum appointment criteria that people need to meet, which is basically VCE. If you're 18, if you're 21 and over, you can apply as a mature age entry student, and then there's no educational requirement.
So if I haven't done my VCE, I could still become a...
as a mature age entry.
Police officer.
Police person. Police officer.
Police person. Officer's very American.
Is it?
Yeah. We tend not to use police officer here. Because officer for us is different for officer in America. An officer for us determines a rank, which is an inspector and above, which is about two ranks above me. So it sort of refers to the upper echelon of Victoria Police.
Take us through some of these things. You have to be over the age of...
You have to have your Victorian manual driver's licence, or I should say a full driver's licence. If you're probationary, it's got to be a manual driver's licence.
Cool, because like, you know, a pursuit car automatic would just cut it, would it?
Well, you know, and a lot of people ask me that question because they say, well, you know, the police cars, I don't think we have manual police cars, so why do need a manual driver's licence? But I just kind of talk about an experience that I had as a young trainee constable back many years ago, where we did arrest a female driver for drunk, and her car was actually left in the middle of the road, and it was a manual vehicle, and I had to get in and move it.
And you bunny hopped it all the way?
Well, luckily I meet the criteria and I do have my manual driver's license. So yeah, look, and those circumstances, whilst we wouldn't say that that happens every day, but they do occur. So, and that's just one of our...
So it shows a skill. It's a different skill to drive a manual car, and I think it's a little bit more of an excelled skill in driving a manual car. So it's important.
Just some other little things that we need to make sure that we've got.
You need level one first aid, which needs to remain current throughout the application process. You also need to pass our medical testing and fitness testing, which is part of the process that can take anywhere between 9 to 12 months.
Can it just be like me where I look fit?
No. We need proof.
Oh, okay. Well, if there's anything like I've been watching on TV lately, it'll probably take me 2 years to get fit.
You need to be an Australian citizen, is that right?
Oh, yes, sorry, yeah. Australian citizen or have permanent residency. And then, of course, the first step to applying is to sit our entrance exam.
What about if I've got some type of history with the police?
Yes. Look, we do have a prior history policy, and with all our applications, we ask the applicants to disclose any prior history that they have, and we apply that against our policy. obviously some elements of their history may completely eradicate them from an application being accepted. Others, it may involve a time frame of when they would have to remain offence-free before we could accept an application from them. But, so it's all very dependent, and I think that's a big thing with Victoria Police with its application process, is it does really focus on the applicant as an individual. Although we have a blanket cover for, you know, our processes and our application criteria, at the end of the day come the panel interview, which is the final stage. It's up to the person themselves to kind of really shine on the day and show us what they're made of.
Height and weight. We have to be a certain height, certain weight.
Not so much like the old days where we did have height guidelines for applicants. There isn't any currently. And with our weight requirements, it's a BMI. So that's height to weight ratio. So as long as you're within our requirements of, I think, a BMI of not over 27.5.
Like you're saying, the history of the police, I've had probably 2.5 years history with Scott Davis here. Does that help?
So would you consider that a positive history with the police or not a positive history?
Let's turn to our criminology student, Bryden. What do you think? Let's assume that I've met all these requirements. Where do I get an application form from?
That's a very good question, because that question we get asked quite a bit, because it's not something that you download from our internet site or anything like that. What you have to do is sit the entrance exam. You apply direct to the TAFE colleges that hold the entrance exams, and they can be found on the VetAssess website. And their link is actually on our victoriapolice.gov.au website. So you sit the entrance exam. The results are posted to you along with an application to join. So that's how you get the ball rolling.
Cool. And you'd go off and do a TAFE course?
No. We were bringing in a university education standard, which just didn't finalise in any way. So we're keeping it, as we always have done, with 20 weeks training in the academy. And that's paid training. And then you're on 2 years probation at a training station. At the end of those 2 years, you become a confirmed constable.
The TAFE that you're thinking about is the application process. So the TAFE course, it's not a course, it's just you sit the test at a TAFE institute.
Yeah.
I think I might be a bit screwed, because part A, spelling and comprehension, that's okay. Maths, I can put 2 and 7 together. English skills, grammar, vocabulary, and reading comprehension.
Comprehension.
That's one. Reasoning ability, what's that?
Reasoning ability? Mm. Oh, what would be an example of the reasoning ability?
Will you reason with someone?
Yeah, it's your ability to think through a particular circumstance.
That's right.
And, you know, provide the reasoning for that. I can't even think of an...
We don't have a question.
It's been so long since
you.
I did the exam. That
Me too.
Who pays for the costs of all this application stuff?
Well, the applicant has to pay for the process. It's $90 to sit the entrance exam, and then, of course, the medical testing, all the eye testing, hearing tests, and visit to the GP would be to the cost of the applicant. But pretty much that's about it. Everything else, the fitness testing at the academy is just a day. It's usually held on a Sunday once a month. So apart from that, that's about it.
Okay, I reasoned with you really well, and I've passed everything.
Well. You've passed everything. We're on our way.
I am.
Well, you've passed the entrance exam. That's what you've done
cool.
so far.
And I've passed my criminal history check.
Yes.
And you would have also done an interview at your local police station.
Yes, and they think I'm great.
They do.
Yeah, probably because they've heard me talk to Scotty. But do I get to go out to the police academy?
No. Look, there's a couple more things yet. We did touch lightly on the medical testing earlier.
Okay.
So the next thing is the fitness testing, which we hold at the police academy in Glen Waverley once a month on a Sunday. I'm just wondering, I might be putting you on the spot here a bit, but can you run through the four elements of the fitness test for me?
The four elements. Okay, here we go. The four elements. I've seen this on TV. Buggered if I could pronounce it. A hand grip dynamometer.
Dynamometer.
What is it? Dynamometer. You put that there on purpose.
We did.
Dynamometer.
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 Which is a hand grip.
Is the test in actually using it or just how to say it?
Both.
Yeah.
Both?
Yeah,
that's already comprehensive.
Say it again. Dynamometer.
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 Not quite.
But
all right. Anyway, test.
Yes.
That's a hand strengthening thing?
Yes, that's right.
All right. Sounds easy, but probably not. The Illinois Agility Run. Sounds like a fun run. That's not. The 15-metre, 75-kilogram dummy drag.
Yes.
And the multi-stage...
You're not involved in that bit of it.
I just carry myself, you think. The multi-stage fitness test.
Yes, which is a beep test for the old school people out there.
Take me through that one I can't pronounce.
Well, the dynamometer grip strength test is something that the applicants do on the fitness testing day, and it's done in each hand, so your right and left hand, and you're given two goes if you don't meet our requirement of 30 on the dynamometer reading, and that's to pass the grip strength test. The Illinois Agility Run is just an agility run through witches' hats, which is timed. The 15-metre dummy drag is, well, as it sounds, you're actually dragging a dummy for 15 metres. And the multi-stage fitness test is the beep test. So witches' hats are 20 metres apart and dependent on age and sex as to what level you need to reach to pass that.
Okay, now you said old school is the beep test, but what is the beep test?
Well, beep test, and it's literally a pre-recorded beep and a person actually saying on this pre-record message at to what level that you reach throughout the
and
beep
the, and the
test.
Beep gets quicker. So you've got to run a distance and reach the other end before it beeps again, then you've got to get back to the start before it beeps again, and it slowly gets quicker and quicker and quicker, and that determines the level that you're at. And then ultimately, you will get to a point where you don't make it to the end before the beep, and then you're out. And you have to reach a certain level to be able to become an applicant of Victoria
So
Police.
Then do you have to keep running as quick as you can, basically? Or do you have to pace yourself?
You've got to pace yourself.
So how do you know when the beep's going to come?
You get to learn the timing of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's really tricky, and you can actually download it on the internet, if you like, or people who are interested in applying, we actually have it on our website as well.
Okay.
We've got DVD footage of someone actually going through every part of the application process, so you can actually see someone doing, which would probably make more sense if you're not up to speed.
I've passed all those tests.
Well done.
Because I'm pretty cool.
You've done well.
You must
with
be
that.
Pretty tired.
I am, and I'm just wondering whether I'll have to be tested for psychological stuff.
Yes, you do. And that's the fun part of the day, because that's held on the same day at the Police Academy. And that's a group of 300 questions. And it's just literally a yes, no.
How many?
300.
Oh my goodness, you wouldn't be sane after that, would
you?
No. Literally a yes, no to the questions that are asked. And whilst that's not a pass-fail situation, it does give us a reading on an applicant's psychological screening, so to speak.
No, I can tell them I'm not sane. It's all right. I'll save them the 300 questions a time. All right. Do the applicants have to be of good character? Which I'm assuming they do.
Most definitely.
So will they have to go through a drug screening test?
Look, Paul, we do run your own drug screening tests, and that can be done at any time throughout the application process. And I suppose the whole point of that is so people don't get to know that, you know, at a certain stage of the process, that's to be expected. That kind of defeats the purpose if we're trying to catch people out with that. So, yeah, at any part of the process, that can be done.
Is there random drug testing within the police force after you get in?
There is. I don't think it's as common in every area.
There's certain areas that are targeted as high risk, so there would be random drug screening done there, but there might also be information that, say, our ethical standards department gather about a particular person, so they might just choose to do a random one. At any point in time, someone can walk into the room and say, come with us now, we're off for a drug screening test.
I would have thought the whole of Victoria Police would be a high risk.
I suppose it's different. So if you were working in, say, the drug squad, then that's much higher risk than someone who's working in gay and lesbian liaison like myself, which is pretty much an office-bound job.
Okay.
So the more contact that you have with the community, the higher the risk.
It's probably pretty well known that I've never had drugs in my life, or smoked a cigarette for that matter, so can I get into the academy now?
Well, I think after you've done so well with your fitness testing, and we've seen a bit of the beep test in the studio today with you, all you need to do is pass the panel interview. And if you're successful at the panel interview, you then go on our order of merit, which is our waiting list. Now, you can also be on our waiting list for anything up to 12 months before you're selected for a squad in the academy. But the thing with that is if you're on there for more than 12 months, your application expires and you have to redo the entire
process. How long do the interviews go for?
They're usually about an hour for the panel interviews.
Okay, I've scored the panel. Panel loves me. Can I go in now?
Yes. Ooh. Well, you're on our order of merit, and if you've done really well at the order of merit, if you've reached a high score, and how you get that score is 50% of your entrance exam and 50% of your panel interview is added together, and that gives you your final score on the order of merit. And when we select squads for the academy, we select from the top down. So if you are high on our order of merit, you would probably get into the academy pretty quickly.
Ah, cool. Look, that happens straight away as soon as I walk in the door. A couple of messages have come in. Firstly, there's one that says, if you fail the exam, can you resit it?
Yes.
Okay, that's simple.
That's an easy answer.
Another one in says, recently had an interview at the station level with a sergeant, but his attitude toward a gay male like me was not that encouraging. Have attitudes of older members really changed, or is this just a once-off?
I would like to think that it's a once-off, but naturally I'm not out there at every police station to see that, but certainly attitudes across Victoria Police have changed immensely, and we've spoken about that over the last number of weeks with Mark Keane in and Christine Nixon in a couple of weeks ago. So they've definitely changed.
Interesting to know how long ago that was.
It would be interesting to know. Now, I suppose in regards to that particular question, though, there is a grievance process that you can put in place during the application process. So if you feel aggrieved by something that's taken place in the interview process, you can contact our recruit services branch and they can talk you through the grievance process. In this particular instance, though, whilst you do an interview at your local station to see whether you're suitable or not, the weight that it carries in the application process is fairly low. It would have to be something quite serious that the person who was interviewing you at your local station put into that application form for the recruit services to pick up. As Deborah said before, it's really based on your entrance exam, 50% of your entrance exam, and 50% of your selection panel process, which is the last panel you do, not the one that you do at your local police station. So whilst it mightn't have been a great experience, and I can understand that, it really doesn't have that much weight in the application process.
Okay, moving along, a venue down the southeastern suburbs. The recruits on a Monday have their blonde, I don't know why they drank blonde, maybe because it's low carbs, but 10:30, disappeared. Had to be home before a certain time, locked in their compound.
At the academy. Yeah, well, the academy. Gates shut at the academy.
So life at the academy is not just about drinking blonde at a pub, it's about...
No.
No? Take me through it.
Well, life at the academy, it's been a long time since my life at the academy, but look, it's 100 days, the training.
100 days?
Well, we say 20 weeks, 100 days.
It's about to change to 23 weeks, though, for a couple of reasons. The first one is that there's about to be an additional section put on at the front of their training, which is about cultural competency, ethical decision making, which is very much about learning about the diverse community that they would be policing, which I'm quite heavily involved in. And then they also get a week's leave in the middle of their training now.
And I heard there was another week because they have to come under Joy 94.9 and endure a couple of hours of me.
Is that right?
Yes.
Oh, I haven't heard about that bit yet.
It should happen.
From July, it's actually extending out from 20 weeks to 23 weeks.
And for good reason.
Very good reason.
Yeah.
Okay, Deborah, take me through it. What am I going to expect in this 100 days plus?
Well, I suppose with the academic subjects that you'd be looking at with your time at the academy, you'd be doing some law and policing procedures, some communication skills, some computer and keyboarding, which are very important. And we do find that some of our recruits get out to the academy and they're not that good with their keyboard skills. And it does kind of leave them a bit behind because there's so much to do when you're out there that the last thing you want to be worried about is how to use a computer. So having those skills in place before you join is...
And they need these skills in order to write up reports and
just
about everything we do. And you actually get bonus points in the application process for having done a computer course, don't you?
For a nationally accredited course will earn you a bonus point, as does fluency in another language, and a degree will earn you a bonus point as
well. Some of the physical training?
The physical training will include drills, some water safety, some defence tactics, firearms training. Of course, the academy at Glen Waverley, we have our own firearms
range.
That's the word I was looking
for. The scenario village.
And the scenario village, yeah. And of course, physical education, which is a huge component. The fitness test that is done as part of the application process is repeated at least another 3 times whilst you're in the academy. So you really got to keep your fitness levels constant.
Water safety, so you need to know how to swim?
Well, we used to have swimming as part of the application process, that you had to do one length of the pool at the academy. That's no longer the case. So we've taken that out of the application process. But there is probably one or two water safety sessions whilst you're in the academy, purely for water safety reasons. So I guess saying that, no, you don't need to swim, but we teach you water safety, it's a bit of a quandary with that. But we do expect some water safety skills.
It would seem to me that surely if you're a police officer, you would need to know how to swim. Imagine me, can't swim. I'm running down the road, he jumps in the lake, swims across the lake, escapes. I can't get to him because I can't swim.
Well, you would always have your offsider with you, or you would call in troops who are local.
Who could swim.
And they might be across the other side of the lake.
And in realistic expectations, if you're chasing a criminal, I'm not going to be going swimming after them anyway. I would be calling in other resources. If it's a big lake, a boat or a helicopter, or if they're on the other side of the lake, hopefully other police on the other side.
Same thing too, though. If you're protecting the citizens of the law and one of them falls into the water,
you'd want
to be able to save them, wouldn't you?
That would be the expectation, because the other people that were there standing by would be looking to you to do that. So
I'd have to look for a button I can press and go to a song.
Well, yeah, look, and this is a huge debate issue, really. So a lot of people think exactly that. We should be seen to be able to offer that service if someone's in trouble. Children, even, things like that. But as a requirement for an application, there is no swim component.
Okay. How intense is the training?
Fairly intensive. The law is daily. The classes are daily. There's exams probably...
every 3 to 4 weeks,
yeah,
at least.
Throughout the academy. So if you're not performing, they back squad you, which means the squad that you're in, if you're not keeping up to speed with your squad mates, you are put to the squad behind you, which are that amount of weeks behind you, or the 4 weeks behind you, and you would be redoing that section again.
Okay. So it'd be like resitting it, I guess, in one sense.
Yeah.
And it takes you longer?
Yes.
And when do you get to the point when they go, nah, sorry, bucko, it's not going to happen?
Well, again, individually based.
All right. What's the go with the curfew? Why do the cadets have to be home in bed before 10:30?
The curfew is actually about safety of the building. So there is a time when we would shut the gates at the front. So it's not so much about a curfew as such, but it's about preventing other people from coming into the academy grounds after those hours. So it's the safety of the people that are staying there overnight. It's not so much about keeping the recruits out, because they can get back in if they do come back late.
What about the way they behave? Is that noted?
In the academy?
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Yep. And that's also part of their process. Whilst you're in the academy, you're still obviously not a confirmed sworn member. So you can be asked to leave the academy and not return and complete your training. So, yeah, there's always that expectation to...
I don't know if they still do it, but I got a detention once for turning up late to a presentation by the coroner. We were about 15 minutes late, four of us, and detention was to be down at the running track at the end of the day, and it was something like an hour's running around the running track as punishment for being 15 minutes late for the lecture. So I would imagine that those sorts of things still do go on a bit.
Yeah.
You're telling me that once the cadets go in through that gate, they have to hang up their sense of humour and then they go in?
Oh, that's a bit harsh. No,
I'm just wondering, because some of the coppers I've come across, they're all really stern.
Gruff.
Yeah, forgot to pick their sense of humour up on the way. Other coppers that I've met, though, through this program, fantastic.
Well,
love you all.
And that's the thing, because we reflect our community. So while some of us, our personalities and our multicultural differences, that's what Victoria Police is all about. So it all comes down to that side of things. You're going to get your good and bad and everything.
Okay, do I have to be down at the actual academy and live there? And is it going to cost me, or does it cost somebody else?
You don't have to live in the academy anymore. That's your choice. If you do live in, there is a cost. All those fees are on our website, so you can look at those, but it's not compulsory to live in.
But you're paid whilst you're at the academy, and those costs are taken out of your pay.
Exactly.
If you choose to live in, board and the food and everything gets taken out of it.
I've gone into the academy, and I've come back out, and I still got my sense of humour, which is great. Where do I get placed after my graduation?
After graduating, you're still a probationary constable, so you're still in training for another 2 years. Mm. Your training station would be Metro somewhere. You do get a choice of three preferences that you select upon graduation. I would say probably 90% of the time the graduates actually get placed in their preferences. But either way, you would still be Metro. At the end of your 2 years training, you're then a confirmed constable. And that's when the ballot system takes over. And the ballot system is names literally put into a hat and picked out. And if there are country spots that need to be filled, for argument's sake, Mildura, Robinvale, those kind of areas, those confirmed constables get sent to those areas.
I grew up in a town called Narnagoon, which is actually getting quite populated now.
Western Port Bay there?
But say, for instance, if I was from Bendigo or Majura or like a... Well, they're actually not that small, but like a smaller town, would I be posted back there?
Quite possibly.
Would that be a good thing or a bad thing, seeing the whole town knows me?
Yeah, well, good question. I suppose, did they like you up there?
Everyone likes Paul Anthony.
Well,
come
then
on.
It's a good thing.
That's a good thing. All right. Is there much career opportunities once you become a copper?
Yes, yeah. And I think that's one of the reasons most of us stay in for as long as
have lengthy
we
careers.
Do. Yeah. It's almost like we have several careers within the one job. I know in my lifetime within Victoria Police, I've probably had 8 different places that I've been as far as plainclothes work. Now I'm at recruiting and doing a lot of expos and marketing. So it's just varied with the different areas that the members can go once they're in the job.
How exciting.
It is exciting.
It is.
Leading Senior Constable Deborah Chapman, can you tell me, recap on what we've just talked about recruiting?
Well, obviously, looking at our website is the first thing everyone should be doing. And then going across to the VetAssess link to sit the entrance exam, ring up and sit the entrance exam. That's going to cost them $90. Then they need to complete the medical booklet, the fitness testing, psychological testing, and then the panel interview, which is the final process. And then hopefully they are successful and they get on our order of merit. May have to wait there for a short time and then hopefully be selected for a squad at the academy.
So that can take anywhere up to 18 months from the time you do your entrance exam to getting into the academy in some instances, can't it?
Yeah, look, and sometimes longer, depending on your final score. So it is a lengthy process, but, you know, well worth the effort and the wait.
And just a bit of a tip, mentioning my name is not going to help you in the slightest.
No.
Just in case you were wondering. Going over to our criminology student, Bryden Sullivan, how have you gone today?
I think I've done all right. I've just been listening and learning about the recruitment. Although it sounds like takes a while to go through the process, it seems like it's become a little bit more straightforward. Mm. It'd be good to get some more people from the diverse different community to be representative of the community in the police.
Look, I sit the selection panels probably 3 or 4 times a year, and quite regularly in those selection panels, I am picking up that we've definitely got gay and lesbian people sitting those selection panels. And
there's your gaydar going off, isn't it?
It certainly does, and you can read it through some of the applications, through their CVs and the like, what they talk about in their private lives. But also at the academy, because I do presentations at recruits and constable course levels, and I have lots of people come up to me after those presentations who are identifying to me that they are gay and lesbian. So there's lots of applicants that are getting out there. Each course that I do, there would be 2 or 3, I would say, that would be identifying as gay or lesbian. So we've definitely got lots of people from the diverse community applying to join.
So it could actually be a bonus to actually incorporate more into the police, that you could put that down on your form saying, you know, I'm diverse.
It's not part of the selection process. Oh. No, it won't earn you an extra point if you
have to go and get a degree,
if you're fluent, or yeah, degree or fluent in a language or have that recognised national computer course.
Mm. Yes, exactly.
Or being on air with Paul Anthony.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, that's 3 bonus points.
I'll apply today.
This would be the longest glow segment that we've had since we've been on air. Leading Senior Constable Deborah Chapman, thank you so much for joining us here.
It was a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And also criminology student Bryden Sullivan.
Thank you
also. Scotty Davis. I'll see you next week.
We'll be here.
On Joy 94.9.
If you have any knowledge concerning any crime, call Crime Stoppers on 1800 333 000 or visit crimestoppers.com.au. If it's an emergency, always call 000.
The Victoria Police Glows, Crime Stoppers and Joy 94.9, working together to help make our community safe.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.